for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 23rd, 2012. Carla Batod is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Sins Unto Death.
Okay, well, I know y'all just sat down, but would you stand back up, please? I'd like you to agree in prayer that right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind every spirit of the enemy, every spirit from the kingdom of darkness working against this meeting. We send out the warring angels right now to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against us. Lord, we ask you to send warring angels and angels of deliverance to assist us in this meeting. Lord, even to do war in the heavenlies over this place, that we might have an open heaven to receive from you tonight. I cover each one of us with the precious blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. This is going to be a hard word to give. For years, since I've been walking with the Lord and in His Word, He had a remote back there. My husband did that to me one time. Years ago when I had the spirit of Jezebel and I was ranting and he didn't even look at me, he just took the remote and it didn't work. I say that I have this spiritual bulletin board because many times when I'm reading the Word, questions will come to me and the answers don't always come immediately, but I say I put it on my spiritual bulletin board, and at some point, God reveals the answer to me. And this is one that I've had for many years. The first thing God dealt with me about was healing. He began to call on me to go pray for people, to lay hands on people and pray for them. And some were healed, and some were not. Some were raised up, and some died. So I had this question. Not, you know, it wasn't a question that caused me to be discouraged because I still went. I just believed that, you know, I was only to do what God called me to do and the rest was His business. But it still was a question that I had. Lord, when we do everything that Your Word tells us to do and it fails, what's the problem? That's been a question that I've had for a long time. Okay, so I was reading the Word one day, and I want you to turn with me to 1 John, and let me open my notes so I don't jump off of a cliff somewhere. Okay, also, before we start, I want to bind the spirit of fear, because sometimes when you hear these things, it causes people to get afraid. I want to bind the spirit of offense. As we heard last night, the Word sometimes will cause us to be offended. And I bind that spirit of offense right now. And I break your power and I forbid you to work in God's people. I bind the spirit of condemnation and guilt and shame. Because this message is not meant to bring condemnation, guilt, or shame to anyone. I loose godly sorrow that leads to repentance. I loose that, the conviction from the Lord that will lead you to repentance. And as you hear these scriptures that are going to be read, let there be a continuation of repentance as you listen to the Word. If it doesn't apply to you, that's okay. But if it does, repent. Just quickly say, oh God, I've done that. Forgive me. I repent. That will break things off of you and give an opening for healing and deliverance to take place. As you hear this, I'm not going to leave you in a place of hopelessness, because sometimes if you hear, if you're reading the Word and oh my goodness, I've done that, and that. And it can lead you to a place of feeling hopeless. But this is, I'm not going to leave you in a place of hopelessness. Repentance will bring you healing. It will bring you deliverance. It will cause a restoration to take place and bring you into a place of freedom. And it will empower you to help others. Because what you don't have, you cannot give. And if you're going to work in deliverance, you cannot cast something out of somebody that is in you. Had a lady call me one time. Her daughter had a very strong Jezebel spirit. She had come and heard the teaching, and so she felt empowered to go home and cast this spirit out of her daughter. Well, it didn't work. And she called me and said, I have been binding this thing, and Cassie, it will not go. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what's the problem? But out of my mouth came, Beelzebub cannot cast out Beelzebub. And I went, you know, Lord, cover me. But, you know, the truth it is painful sometimes. It cuts deep. So we had to deal with the spirit of Jezebel in her first before she could have the power to cast it out of her daughter. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And that's what we hope will happen as you come and receive deliverance and freedom here, that you can take it back home and not be afraid. Okay, so in 1 John 5, I was reading, I want you to look at verse 16. Now, I know I've read this scripture many, 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 many times, but about 2 years ago, well, almost three now, it stopped me in my tracks. It says, if any man see his brother sin a sin, not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And I thought, what a strange scripture to be in the New Testament. A sin unto death, and we are not to pray for it. Well, so what do you think my next question is? Lord, what is a sin unto death? That's what went on my spiritual bulletin board 3 years ago. Well, about a year ago, I was studying something altogether unrelated to this. But as I was thumbing through my Bible, I ran across a page that in the margin, it has die, death, cut off, die, 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 death, death, cut off, cut off. And I thought, what in the world? So I read it. Now I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 20. And we're going to deal with some issues that are sins that bring a death sentence upon your life. Now, as we read these, you'll see that we do not kill people for these things anymore. But what one thing God has shown me, and it was through learning about the curse of the bastard. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, it says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, he nor his descendants for 10 generations. The actual definition of bastard in that day in time in the Hebrew means anyone who was born with a Hebrew, one of the people were Hebrew, and the other one was anything else but a Hebrew. That was what was considered a bastard person. And they were literally and physically kept from going with, when the people gathered, they were not allowed to gather with the congregation of the Lord. Now, we would never do that today. It's an illegitimate birth. It's a birth of a questionable origin. And we do not keep those people out of church or from seeking the presence of God. But in the Old Testament, where things were literal, in the New Testament, they become spiritual. that keeping them from entering into the congregation of the Lord becomes, they can be sitting out here, but they can't enter in. They are blocked from receiving the things of God. I had that in my life. It's real. These things are real. And so, we're going to take a look at them. Verse 1 in Leviticus 20 says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, who giveth of his seed unto Molech." Now Molech was a god of child sacrifice. People would bring their firstborn children, their firstborn sons, and they would sacrifice them, actually give them over to be burned to death. And present day child sacrifice, we all know, is abortion. So that's what I'm talking about here. It says, "He shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones." See, that was literal then. We would never do that today. But there is a death that can take place. It can be in your marriage. It can be in relationships. It can be in your job force. It can be in your spiritual growth. It can be death. It's an abrupt end of something. And a lot of people have a cycle of this. They get to a certain point, and then it ends. They can advance to a certain stage, and then it's like they go back to step one. He says, "And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do in any way hide their eyes," now we're talking about somebody who was there, who knows about it, but they just turn their face. Our nation, I think about the places that are performing abortions. We drive past them, we know about it, and yet we don't want to think about it. We don't want to deal with it. Is that turning our face from it? "If they in any way hide their eyes from the man who does it, when he gives his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that play the harlot after him to commit harlotry with Molech from among their people." Okay? So, it's a national. We have come under a national curse. If you've ever assisted in it, medical professions have had to participate. If you've ever paid for one, encouraged someone to have one, if you've had one and kept it secret, all of these things are working out consequences of death in your life. But we're not in a hopeless situation. Now, I think about, it says that if they have sinned a sin unto death, I do not say pray for that one. But the Word says if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. It's not the unforgivable sin. It is a sin that will carry a consequence of death, a death sentence. Could this be why we have so many incurable diseases sitting in the pews today? So much cancer, so much diabetes, so much anything that eventually leads to death. Could this be one of the roots? Okay, now, we are all born with things we had nothing to do with. If you were in the womb of someone who tried to abort you, you had nothing to do with that. That's not something you chose to do. I call these things grave clothes. We are born with grave clothes. Jesus, when he approached Lazarus' tomb, Lazarus was dead. I mean, dead. He had been dead for 4 days. When he had an encounter with Jesus, and that's how we all start out. We're living, breathing, walking around, living our lives, but until we've been born again, we're dead. Then we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, and we are born again. We are raised from that dead place, just like Lazarus. Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, but guess what? It said he was bound with grave clothes. And we are bound with grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And that is the most beautiful illustration of deliverance in the Bible to me. Loose him and let him go. That's what he wants for all of us that have grave clothes and who have sinned or our forefathers. In the Ten Commandments, it says, God says that he will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the third and the fourth generation. So that's where we fall in. Our forefathers did things that have brought those grave clothes on us that have us bound. And that's what's so wonderful about deliverance. Let's be stripped of these grave clothes so that we can live the life fully that Christ wants us to live and to be effective in the kingdom. That's what it's all about, the kingdom. Okay, so now I did a teaching here called the breaking of Genesis curses. And if you've never had those broken off of you, get the teaching, and it goes through those curses that need to be broken off of you. There's no way in this teaching tonight that I can cover all the things that are listed in these things that will be mentioned. The abortion spirit, the curse of abortion, I did a teaching here. It's called secret sins. If you're dealing with that or if it runs in your bloodline, get the teaching, and it will deal with all of those manifestations. That was working in my life. My grandmother tried to abort my mother. Now, I didn't do anything that brought that curse upon me, but it came down the family line. And as a result of that, it was doing terrible things in my life. I had an unloving spirit that would not allow me to receive love the way I needed to or give love the way I wanted to. That's one of the manifestations of the abortion spirit, is an unloving spirit. It can be the root of female problems. And you know, not only the woman, that's usually the one we deal with the most because she is really more affected, but the man is also affected. These curses that come down affect the man, whoever she conceived the child with. He may have encouraged the abortion. His life is cursed as well. The woman takes it with her. The man goes on, but, you know, those things are working in his life. It could be a root to male cancers, prostate cancer. Men can have breast cancer. It could be female organ cancers can be caused by the abortion spirit. I had migraine headaches. I had murderous thoughts. Shocked me. Petting a kitty cat one day and she has this little, she was real petite and her head was real small and I don't know why, I just put my hand on her head. I thought, her whole head fits in my hand. And I heard this voice say, one twist of your wrist and she'd be dead. I pushed the cat off my lap. Thought, my goodness, where'd that come from? You know, I had a big brother that used to agitate me. I wanted to kill him. Really? That wasn't an expression. I wanted to kill him. I wanted him dead. Where did that come from? That's not normal. Many things are brought on by this curse. Anger issues. You have an anger issue? Might be the root of it. So if you have this working in your life, then you can get the teaching called Secret Sins, and it has all of those manifestations in it, and then at the end there's deliverance. Okay, now look at verse 6. Here's the second one. It says, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to play the harlot after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now, I don't know totally what that means. Cut him off from among his people. But death is a sure way of being cut off from your people. It's not a good thing, I can tell you that. To be cut off is not a good thing. So, if ever you have sought a fortune teller, if you've ever been involved in seances, you know, we do some things as kids along the way. Go to slumber parties and they bring out a Ouija board. All of these things, that's all included in this. If you've ever tried to contact the dead, well, there's even a TV show with a man and women who do this. They'll point you out and tell you all about your great Aunt Susie and her little dog Puff. And everybody is just wowed. Those are familiar spirits. We all have spirits around us that you can't see. I have spirits that came from my mother, spirits that came from my daddy. And those spirits communicate with your familiar spirits. Sometimes people are drawn together and end up getting married and they think it's fate. And it's no more than familiar spirits drawing them together. They have like spirits. That's how child molesters and rapists, those familiar spirits around, if it's in your bloodline, those familiar spirits around you and then around your children. And it will draw the molesters. It will draw the rapists. Serious familiar spirits. Did a teaching on familiar spirits. Can't go into all of it today, but with every spirit that is cast out of you, we need to give leave to the familiar spirits that are with it. Because sometimes, I mean, I learned this when a people would receive deliverance, and like one of the things is like seducing spirits and such, and so even though they get delivered of whatever the root was, they still find that these wrong kind of men are being attracted to them. Well, I ask, why is that, Lord? Well, because they're familiar spirits. Frank Marzullo, Sr., when he would pray, he would say, and all like spirits. And I always wondered, what does that mean? The spirit of abortion and all like spirits. That's all the spirits that come with it. And the familiar spirit. Now I give leave to the familiar spirit that came with it. Because you can be delivered from something, but the familiar spirit is still hanging around, and it'll still draw wrong people to you. So always give leave to the familiar spirit after you cast that spirit out. But palm readers, how many? Calling the psychic hotline. All of this stuff, that is seeking after familiar spirits. I think it's 2 Kings 1. Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ephron, whether I shall recover from this disease. That's like going to a fortune teller. Well, the Lord knew what he was doing. And he sent Elijah to intercept these servants. And he said, is it because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ephron? Go back and tell the fellow that sent you, the king, you're going to die. Is it because there is no God? God does not like us going to other gods. He's a jealous God. He is our healer. Why would we go inquire of anybody else? That's a hard thing to hear. Asa, King Asa, was diseased in his feet. It says he went not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And he died. See, the Lord is our healer. He is our healer. He is our all in all. He does not like us consulting those that have familiar spirits. Going to and even like when I was a kid, the county fair would come and they had this big machine and you would write your name and stick it in there and it'd stick out all these things. Oh, you're this and you're that. And, you know, that's all in the world that is. All of those things are involved in familiar spirits. wizards, witches, voodoo, all that stuff. It's from the occult. It's the power of Satan, not the power of God. So they will be cut off. And it gets even, a little further, we'll see. In verse 7, it says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord, your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifieth you." That word sanctify means to make holy, to purify, consecrate, to set apart for the service of God. See, when we got saved, our spirit was changed and made perfect and holy. But our soul and our body have to be sanctified by the washing of the water of the Word. That's how we are sanctified. It's a process. This is part of being sanctified tonight. We're going to pray these things, and you will receive more sanctification in your flesh. Now look at verse 9. This is the third one. "For everyone who curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." That's pretty serious. I went to pray for a man when all of this first came to me. He had a cancerous tumor the size of a softball in his lung. Christian man, born again. He had gone to his pastor, been anointed, but he did everything, but he's not getting well. Well, so I opened up my Bible to Leviticus 20 because I went to pray for him. And I started asking him, "Have you ever been involved in this? Have you ever been involved in that? Have you ever cursed your mother or father?" "Oh, I'm pretty sure I did that." His daddy was an alcoholic, ruthless, hateful, mean. "Yeah, I'm pretty sure I cursed my dad." I said, "You need to repent and ask God to forgive you and forgive him." You know, unforgiveness is a block. And so he did all this, and even we went all the way down through the list, and there was more that he had to repent of. "Yeah, I know it's in the Old Testament, but so are the Ten Commandments. Aren't we still to observe the Ten Commandments?" There are things that are still to be observed. There are some things that did change when Jesus came. Read Matthew chapter 5. "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, forgive, pray for your enemies." You know, we don't kill people anymore for those things. But there are some things that have changed, but some things have not. Okay. So if you've ever cursed your mother or your father, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Forgive yourself. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. It says that his blood shall be upon him. Okay, look at verse 10. "And the man who committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he who committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." It's serious. Adultery is serious. Could it be that people who have committed adultery have this death sentence on their life, possibly causing incurable diseases, chronic illnesses? We take these things lightly. We think just because nobody knows about it, well, that's kind of how termites are. They work undercover. But if you don't do something about them, they will bring your house down. And so will your secret sins. They are eating. And eating. Okay? Now, about the adultery. This could be physical adultery or spiritual adultery. God was always on Israel's case about their whoredom, chasing after other gods. It's spiritual adultery. Have we been involved in spiritual adultery? I say before we knew God, we were all in spiritual adultery. We were serving the God of this world. So let repentance come. Let the godly conviction that leads to repentance, godly sorrow that leads to repentance, so that these death sentences can be broken off of your life. Okay. Is adultery the unforgivable sin? No. But you do have to repent and ask God to forgive you and be cleansed of that. You know, yes, our sins, though they be as scarlet, are washed as white as snow. Jesus Christ shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. Does that mean the whole world is cleansed? No. You have to ask. You have to acknowledge what he did for you. I like to explain it this way. You might have a fire extinguisher in your house. You get a little fire on your stove, and your friend says, "Hey, you got a fire on your stove." "It's all right. I got a fire extinguisher." So it grows a little more. "Hey, it's okay. I got a fire extinguisher." But this is how the blood of Jesus is. It is absolute. The sins of the whole world are forgiven, theoretically. But whosoever will, you must acknowledge that he died for your sins and ask forgiveness of your sins. And then he cleanses you from the unrighteousness. So we can't take these things across the board. We go get saved, and the biggest lie the devil ever said was, forget about everything you ever did because it's under the blood. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I was saved, but the spirit of abortion until I found out about deliverance, the spirit of Jezebel, the bastard curse, all those things were still operating in my life. And it causes our witness to not be very powerful. Now, about the adultery. In the Old Testament, this is what it says. If they should be stoned, they shall be put to death. Both of them shall be put to death. But then Jesus comes along and says, but now, if you even look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery with her. So, if you've looked upon someone with adultery, if you've imagined in your mind what it would be like to be with that person, you've committed adultery, according to Jesus. It's a serious thing. So ask, repent. Ask him to forgive you and be cleansed of that. Also, people who have looked at pornography, have lusted after what they're looking at with their eyes, that's adultery. Just because you haven't gone out and found somebody and slept with them doesn't make you not guilty. Pornography will cause you to have a spirit of adultery working in your life. Is that the unforgivable sin? No. But you must repent. Jesus said in Matthew 19, I want to look at that, Matthew 19 verses 3 through 9, Matthew 19, it says, the Pharisees also came unto him, testing him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Then they said to him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So here we see that hardness of heart is involved in divorce. And guess what? I've never been divorced, but I was at one time had hardened my heart, my husband and I both, and our marriage was as dead as a marriage can get. It was dead. We had hardened our hearts. I would venture to say that if you're in a marriage where that has happened, if you both will bow your knee to Jesus Christ, repent for having hardened your heart, and ask God to restore your marriage, ask him how to be a wife. Ask him how to be a husband. Ask him to teach you how to love your wife or love your husband. He will do it. He did it for me. He restored our marriage. And it's rock solid. And it's been through a lot of earthquakes. They're not finished yet. But we love each other. We love each other. It's a miracle that God can do it. So there could be a death sentence working in your life because of adultery, because of divorce. We're going to break that. Okay, I'm talking about sins unto death, sins that we have committed that have a death sentence attached to them. Okay? Now, remember, don't be offended. And be careful when you justify yourself. Because, yeah, but. That will keep you from confessing your sins. Because you're defending it. So don't justify yourselves. And don't become offended at the word. Matthew 5:28. Well, I've already said that one. That I say to you, whosoever looketh on a woman and lusts after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Oh, okay, I want to show you something else. In Proverbs, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to show you something about adultery. And look at verse 26, the second half of it. But it says, this is talking about going after harlots and things. It says, for by means of an unchaste woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The adulteress will hunt. Men, be warned. The adulteress is hunting for the precious life. That word precious means valuable, of great use or service. She's looking for the godly man. That's really what she wants. She wants to bring down the godly man. That is why so many men of God, pastors, whatever, fall that way, because she is hunting for that particular man. So the next time somebody is stroking your ego, run for your life. Because it is. Look what it says. Look in verse 21 of chapter 7. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. That's a comparison. When you've got chains on your feet and handcuffs on your hand, you're going to go wherever you're led. You have no choice. Till an arrow, verse 23, strike through his liver. Could this be a root to liver problem? An arrow strikes through his liver. As a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. And that means deviate from duty. Don't deviate from your marriage vows. Don't deviate from your wife. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Death. It can bring a death sentence on your life. Okay, if you have a problem with pornography, I did a teaching here called The Far-Reaching Effects of Pornography. You can't even imagine everything that it touches. Get it and listen to it. There's deliverance at the end. So repent now if that has been one of your weaknesses, and chasing the harlot, chasing after women. Then the soul ties need to be broken. If you have any of these issues working in your life at 6 o'clock in the morning, when they stand before you, let them deal with it. Some need soul ties broken, others don't. You know, it depends on the situation. Okay, look at, let's go back to Leviticus 20 and look at verse 11. And the man who lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. This is incest. Put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. These are death, things that bring death sentences. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, let not the homosexuals be offended. I didn't say that. God said it. It says that they will be offended by the word. Some of them will receive the word gladly, but because they have no root in them, they become offended because of the word. So don't be offended. This is God's word. I'm quoting God. I'm not judging. I'm not condemning. Just telling you what God says. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Do we kill them? No. Are they bringing a death sentence upon themselves? Yes. It is a sin that will result in death. And if a man, okay, you know, so someone may not continue that lifestyle, but people are experimenting. There was a song not long ago, real popular, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. Do you know what that put into the minds of many young girls? Well, let's try it. Let's see what it's like. And it opens the door for those homosexual spirits to come in. Yeah, they're trying it. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire. That's pretty serious. And I guess you know they're not going to come out of that alive. Both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. You know, this is not in Leviticus 20, but in Deuteronomy it talks about a stubborn and rebellious drunkard, slothful son. Take him to the gates of the city and stone him to death. Aren't you glad we're in the New Testament, boys and girls? I used to be a young girl. I did rebellious things. Why did they do that? It says to put evil away from you. I guarantee you, if these children in here witness something like that, next time Mama said, go take out the garbage, they're going to take out the garbage and they're not going to complain. Verse 15, and if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. People do these things. Not only men, women. Believe it or not, as shocking as it sounds, they're having sex with animals. And the schools have books that say it's okay. It is not okay. It will bring a death sentence upon you. But whoever did that was to be put to death. And the animal ye shall slay, they shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. Serious. Serious. See, they're not telling you this in school. They don't put this in the books. You know why? Because they are under the world system. And they are working with the enemy to kill you. That's his goal, is to steal, kill, and destroy. To bring these things into your life, he's either killing you, stealing, or destroying the life that Jesus Christ gave his life that you can have. Verse 17, and if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. Incest, again. Verse 18, and if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, both of them shall be cut off from among their people. How many people have done this? It's not to be done. But we take these things lightly. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. More incest. I think chapter 18 of Leviticus is also, it's almost every bit of this. And it's being repeated in Leviticus chapter 20. And if a man lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they shall bear their sins, they shall die childless. Could that be why some people are childless? Maybe they didn't do it themselves, but those, what I find is the sin is committed by this one here, but through the bloodline, the curse of the result of the sin comes down on the third and the fourth generation. See, I didn't have an abortion, but I was suffering everything that someone who had had an abortion suffered. I was suffering it. I wish I had known this when I was pregnant with my children. I could have broken these things off when they were in my womb. See, if a young woman has these things broken off of her, then it's gone. That's why it's so important to know about deliverance and do deliverance and be delivered so that the buck stops here. The curse is broken. May have to deal with some familiar spirits. You know, you start seeing your little one. Wow. You know, let me tell you how real this is. My dad used to lay back in his recliner to take a nap. And his hands would be right here. And his knees would be laid out. But his hands were always up near his face. When I had my first baby, he was sitting in his little infant seat. And he had his little hands right there. And I thought, I mean, these things are so real. The familiar spirits, you know, are just so present. I mean, sometimes I can almost see a look in an eye, and it's, sometimes I can look at myself in the mirror and I see my mother, and I see her eyes. I hear the sound of her voice. You know, those are familiar spirits. So you can, hey, I give lead to that familiar spirit. Not that it's a bad thing, but sometimes it kind of freaks you out. Sometimes, you know, I remember when she used to drive the car, this hand would be on the armrest, and somehow she would have her hand, one day I was driving, and it was like, you know, and these are familiar spirits. You can give lead to that. I command that familiar spirit to go in Jesus' name. So maybe, you didn't sleep with your uncle's wife and now you're childless, but uncle, great, 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 great uncle may have slept and then childlessness, 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 childlessness. Roots. I have totally left my notes. Let me see. Bestiality. Okay. Okay, now flip over. I'm going to skip a little bit. I want you to go to verse 27. Remember I said a while ago, we're going to see these familiar spirits and things. It says you'll be cut off from your people. But in verse 27, it says, a man also or a woman who hath a familiar spirit. Now I'm talking about of witchcraft, wizardry, voodoo, witch doctors. You know, he says if you involve yourself with these, you're going to be cut off from your people. But if you are one of the ones that is operating in these, under these spirits, it says a man or a woman who hath a familiar spirit or who is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. In another place, I didn't look that scripture up, but God said, I suffer a witch not to live. Witchcraft is a serious thing. So if you've dabbled in witchcraft, repent. Get away from it. You know, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That word repent means change. One of the definitions is change your thinking. And I tell you what, you read Matthew chapter 5, that was the thing. It's like the disciples said, who can do this? It is shocking, the things, the requirements. In, you know, you've heard it said of old, but I say unto you, they had to change their thinking, and we need to change our thinking. We need to change our thinking to line up with the Word of God and to begin to obey His Word. Obedience brings blessing. He said, "This day I set before you life and blessing, death and cursing." And then He says, "Choose life. Please choose life." But we can choose. Okay. Now, I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 26. And no doubt, after Moses gave all of these things, they were ready to repent, even for their forefathers. We need to repent. In chapter 26, verse 39, he's gone on, and there's more and more and more, and this is what's going to happen. There's going to be famine in the land. There's going to be, you know, your enemies will overtake you, all kinds of things. And so after they heard all of this, in verse 39 of 26, it says, "And they who are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. And if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, and I have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land." It's like 2 Chronicles 7:14, or is it 1 Chronicles? 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayers and heal their land." And that's, you know, it's a heavy word, but sitting here, and hearing these things will cause us to want to repent for the sins of our forefathers, the sins that our parents and their parents have committed that have brought these grave clothes on us that are working in our lives, that repeat, they perpetuate generation after generation. Let's let the buck stop here, right? Okay, so why don't we stand up? We're going to have a prayer of repentance. And then I'm going to break some curses and break some death sentences off of us. And let's see what happens, because I really believe this is something that's been blocking healings and deliverances. Okay, let's pray this out loud. Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus. We ask you to forgive our forefathers for the sins unto death that they have committed. I forgive them. And I now ask you to forgive me for those that I've confessed of tonight and repent of today. I now forgive myself. I just take a minute and do that. Forgive yourself. Forgive your forefathers. Thank you for sanctifying us by the washing of the water of your word. Thank you for shedding your blood for the remission of our sins. I thank you that your blood now breaks the curse of death. The death sentences that came upon me and my family. I now receive from you the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes me free from the law of sin and the law of death. Okay, I just want to say this. When we get saved, we make our confession of faith or whatever, and the sin issue is dealt with. that capital S sin that came on all of us through Adam is gone. Now there's little s sins that we commit in as we walk out our lives. But we deal with the sin issue, but we don't deal with the death issue. So I break the curse of death that came on every one of you from Adam and Eve. I break it off of you right now in the name of Jesus. I break the power of death off of your life. That death that came in when they ate from the tree, he said, you shall surely die. And we all received the death sentence. So I break that curse of death now in Jesus' name. Okay, now y'all can sit down. But do say this. I now speak to the spirit of infirmity working in my body as a result of these curses. Okay. Now I bind I take authority right now over every infirmity in your body that has come down through these sins of death. And I bind it, I break its power, and I command it to go. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of infirmity, go now in Jesus' name. All incurable diseases, go in the name of Jesus. All chronic diseases, go in the name of Jesus. You have no right to stay there now because the death sentence has been broken in the name of Jesus. All heart diseases, I speak to hardness of heart right now. I break your power and command you to go. Lord, I ask you to give every one of us a heart of flesh. Remove the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh in Jesus' name. Say, forgive me for hardness of heart, Lord. I speak to the unloving spirit right now and I break your power and I command you to go. The unloving spirit that keeps you from being able to receive the love of God and to give love to others the way you want to. I bind the Antichrist spirit right now that came down through serving other gods. I bind that Antichrist spirit. I break its power. I command it to go now in Jesus' name. The lying spirit and the perverse spirit that wants to twist the truth, I bind you and break your power and command you to go now. Take a deep breath. Out in Jesus' name. Antichrist spirit and lying spirit, go. Go in the name of Jesus. I loose the spirit of truth on you in the name of Jesus. I bind that bastard curse right now. I bind the bastard curse that has kept you out of the congregation of the Lord, that has blocked you from receiving spiritual growth from God. In the name of Jesus, I break it now in Jesus' name. Okay, now, in cases of incest, molestation, rape, anytime you were violated against your will as a child repeatedly, even once, the trauma of that thing can cause your mind to split. It is so horrendous. It is so perverse that the person that it's happening to cannot even endure it. So they shut down and something else comes in to take its place. I bind right now every spirit of insanity, every spirit of multiple personality, every spirit of schizophrenia. I bind you and break your power. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I speak healing to the minds right now in Jesus' name. The fragmented mind. I speak healing to the fragmented mind, the fragmented soul in the name of Jesus. I break your power now and I speak wholeness in the name of Jesus. I speak to every familiar spirit that came down through your mother's bloodline and that came down through your father's bloodline. I give leave to all the familiar spirits that came down through your bloodline in the name of Jesus. Go. All familiar spirits, go now. Every like spirit of everything that we mentioned tonight, every spirit that heard their name mentioned and all the familiar spirits that go with it, go in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave God's people. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of whoredom, seducing spirit, lust spirit, spirits of adultery. I bind and break the spirit of adultery and divorce off of your life now in the name of Jesus. All divorce spirits go. All spirits of adultery, go in the name of Jesus. Seducing spirits, fornication, go in the name of Jesus. I command all fear spirits to go. Fear that comes in through sin, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of God, I break the spirit, the fear of God in the name of Jesus. I loose upon you godly fear, reverential fear, but the fear that drives you from God, I bind it and break its power now and command it to go. I bind all memory recall from trauma, from rape, molestation, betrayal, divorce, adultery, hardness of heart, cruel words. I pull them out of your ears right now, and I speak healing to your memories in the name of Jesus. All triggers, I speak to all trigger spirits, sounds, places, smells, go in the name of Jesus. I break the power off of your life in the name of Jesus. I come against all incubus spirits and succubus spirits from sexual sin. I bind you and break your power. I command you to go. I forbid you to come and torment God's people anymore. In the name of Jesus, all tormenting spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. And now I want to break the spirit of the bride of Satan. When molestation, incest, rape, all of these sexual sins, perversion, if you've been involved in perversion, Satan claims you for himself. That's a very real thing. In marriages, when one or the other commits adultery or gets involved in pornography, Satan claims you for himself. He wants to make you his bride, and he will cause you not even to be able to have a healthy sexual relationship with your husband or your wife. I break. Right now, we give a spiritual writ of divorcement to the spirit of the bride of Satan. I bind you and break your power off God's people. I command you to go now. I lift the veil that he has put on you in the name of Jesus. I lift that veil off of you where he has hidden you from a prospective mate. Many women, many single women that have been abused are living in desolation because Satan has claimed them, put a veil on them and hidden them so that they cannot have a normal life. I remove that now in Jesus' name. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. You come off of God's women and men in Jesus' name. I speak to arrested development that happens in trauma of any kind. I speak, I bind that arrested development right now out of the minds of God's people. I break its power. I command you to loose the minds. I speak wholeness to the minds right now in Jesus' name. I call forth a supernatural maturity to every person to the age that you are. I break that arrested development. Still acting like you're 14 or 9 or whatever. I break that in Jesus' name. I loose a godly maturity on your lives in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of abortion. I command all spirits of murder, the unloving spirit, go in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of their blood right now in the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches, tormenting spirits, hearing voices. Many women who have had abortions will hear voices, and then, of course, that passes down through the bloodline, too. You just have these voices in your head telling you to do things. It's very real. I command the voices to shut up and go in Jesus' name. All those tormenting voices, I bind you and break your power and command you to leave the minds of God's people. No more, no more torment in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this camp, Lord. I thank you that this is a place where people can come and be set free from the grave clothes that they were born with, from even death sentences and curses and infirmities and torments from the sins that they've committed in their lives, things that have happened to them along the way. We thank you for your shed blood.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you that you gave your life for us.
Yes. Yes.
We thank you for your love.
Yes.
Lord, I just ask for a fresh anointing, Lord. I ask you to just drop down right now.
Yes.
Just drop down your love and let every person feel it. Like a warm blanket, Lord. Just fill them with your love. That perfect love that drives out all fear. Every issue that we deal with basically boils down to a love issue. Love is the cheapest thing because God is love. And He loves you. Pour out your love on us tonight, Lord. Pour out your love on us, your peace and your joy. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your covenant with us, Lord. Thank you. We just thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray that every person here would have a good night's sleep. They will get up rested and ready for tomorrow. Thank you for everything that you've already done, Lord. Thank you for touching each and every person. And I thank you for what you're yet to do. We thank you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.